Hello and welcome to episode 27 of the UFO Casters Captain Scarlet. This week, Noose of Ice. Oh, Noose of Ice. This one feels very much like it's less than the sum of its parts. Let's try and talk about the good stuff. So, the snow and ice stuff looks great. I like episodes that do that. Avalanche is a good one. And I guess this then kind of stands in its shadow because Avalanche is one of the best episodes of the series. Shadow of Fear, I guess, also has some of that kind of backdrop. So visually, it looks great. It's just a shame that it doesn't quite hold together. I basically spent the whole of this episode going, does the physics of this work? Like, could you have a mine at the North Pole? Is there enough? I honestly don't know. But it was one of those ones where I was like, my brain was going, this just doesn't seem to kind of add up. Like, putting it at the North Pole, the diagram of how it all was supposed to work. Would it freeze that fast if you turn the heating elements off? I don't know. But my brain was going, this doesn't seem to hang together. And when your brain's doing that, then clearly something is not quite right. Because Back to the Future doesn't make sense. Like, if you think too deeply about the time travel, it all falls apart. But because you like the characters and the story, that's fine. And there's lots of other examples of things where, like, if you think too deeply about stuff, it doesn't work. And you're prepared to forgive lots of things. Whereas in this case, I was like, well, I'm not engaged enough to stop thinking about all the things that seem a bit dodgy. You know that whole thing about, like, Captain Scarlet, he'll get the bends if he goes up. I thought that was to do with, like, if you kind of changed your atmosphere to go diving in a particular deep way and then you come up too fast. But they didn't seem to have gone through any of, like, changing atmosphere to get down there. Maybe they just kind of skipped that. And then he didn't get the bends. Maybe that's a Mistron power. Yeah, and then you had the Mistron dude. Okay, the guy who becomes a Mistron, if he just parked closer to the building, he wouldn't have died in the snowstorm at the beginning, you know? Silly things like that. You know, I mean, that seems quite impressive. It was very well done with the sort of the little figure actually moving its hand. Because usually when you have the sort of wide shots with the model shots, and the people in them are stationary, and then you cut to a close-up and it's a puppet. Whereas they actually made the effort to kind of go, okay, we're going to have a little model that moves and then cut to a puppet doing the same thing. So technically, really good. Just a shame about the rest of it. This is just a general thing of, like, they've got the Mistron detector. Why don't they use it? This episode would not have happened if the minute the Mistron threat was made and they went, well, this is the most likely target. And that, obviously, they get that right. That is the most likely target. Then you immediately Mistron detect the entire staff of the base, right? That should be your first step in Spectrum Protocol, is Mistron detect the entire staff of the base that is under threat. And they just don't. But then that's not a criticism just of this episode. That's generally a criticism of, like, any episode post-Spectrum Strikes Back where they don't use the Mistron detector. And also, you have a very clear opportunity for Captain Scarlet's sixth sense of, like, oh, I'm feeling a bit drowsy because there's Mistron nearby, when the lift door opens, and then, again, it doesn't happen. But again, that's not a criticism of this episode. It's a criticism of the whole kind of overall narrative of the show where it happens when it's convenient, and then it doesn't happen when it's not convenient. So let's park that one to one side. I wanted to like this episode, you know, and visually it looks great. That is something that is going for it. It's really well put together. You know, it's nicely directed. It's just lacking in the plot department. And the denouement is essentially a repeat of Operation Time. We're going to electrocute the Mistron, you know? And they kind of make a thing of, like, before he goes, of, like, oh, it's, like, however many thousand volts, that could kill you. And the dude's like, well, it could kill anybody. But then they make a thing of, like, this is an actual peril for Captain Scarlet. And then it's not, actually. He just gets shot and survives as per usual. And Mistron Puppet gets quite grotesquely electrocuted. I think it's probably more graphic than Dr. Magnus in Operation Time. Yeah. So disappointed. I'm not ranking it down there with, like, the ones that I'm saying are the worst, like Renegade Rocket and Spectrum Strikes Back, which I'm looking at my list and going, those are the two that I've rated bottom. obviously Spectrum Strikes Back used to be quite high in my esteem, and this time I was just like, no. Whereas Renegade Rocket was always terrible. I haven't given anybody else a ranking that low, and New Survivors is not going to go that far. I'm just going to say it's a middling episode like quite a few others. Well, I didn't remember enough about it to kind of say what I thought about it before, but my vague recollection was that I'd quite enjoyed it. And so this time, clearly, that wasn't the case. Oh, well. Anyway, this week's Spectrum Agent is Mike Slattery, who has again written his contribution, and this time it'll be read by me. And it immediately made me think that I should revise everything I've just said. Here we go. New Survivors. Great episode. Prime Captain Scarlet. This one's got it all. An engaging teaser, groovy SF concepts, tight linear plot, sharp direction, brilliant model work and cinematography, and an extremely uncompromising denouement. The quality is immediately apparent. The opening shots of the icebound hotspot tower are brilliantly realised. These are feature standard miniatures. The snowmobile exterior and cabin and the control room of the tower are also top-notch. All these years later, they still look believable. The build-up of the storm is very well done. The effects of the snow getting heavier. You can see the poor drivers really had it. After the Mistron threat, the plot really zips along. A quick meeting between the captains and the general, and then straight cut to the long shot of the SPV in the snow. Nothing extraneous. The model work as the SPV enters the sliding gate is outstanding, as is the sound design. The sound effects of the gate's opening have real weight. Some explanatory dialogue, and then the first dip in power. This is smart writing, good tension escalation. First a minor dip, then a bigger one, and it's done with no melodrama, just professionals reacting as events unfold. The set of the power station is another stylish design, and is very well lit. It's easy to overlook the lighting on these shows, and it's superb, right from the opening alley and graveyard shot, etc. The power cables the Mistron agent unplugs always looked very authentic to me, even when I saw this episode as a kid, and I guess that's what they actually are, rather than props. The time-lapse photography of the water freezing over is very effective. They didn't need to go to those lengths, and it's another example of the attention to detail that went into these shows. The solution for getting Scarlet to the surface is a nice bit of business. Good jeopardy and tight direction, told in just four brief shots. The long shot of him on the ladder is impressive. At a glance, he looks like a real person. Barry Gray's score is on point as ever, and combined with the sound design as the bridge is being crushed works so well. Hitchcock levels of suspense. Smiley face. For the finale, we know that our hero is going to get the bad guy, but it's still unexpectedly brutal. The Mistron agent gets fried alive and left smouldering, and Scarlet is blasted in the chest, presumably dead? This is such smart filmmaking. I can watch it and be absorbed all these years later, and after seeing a million SF movies and shows since. It's an animated work of art, and as Liz Morgan said after rewatching them a few years back, it's very avant-garde. All the shows are to a degree, but Scarlet in particular, with those unexpected and inventive opening credit scenes. A hard SF show opening up with a dingy alley and a fog-shrouded graveyard? There's nothing else really like it. We're doing the usual stuff. This is episode 27 on the Blu-ray, 25 on DVD, 24 on VHS, so again, very little difference there. New Mistron powers. Well, I'm gonna say not getting the bends, because Captain Scarlet has Mistron powers. He should get the bends according to the plot, but he doesn't, so there you go. Mistron's still at large. Well, Captain Black, of course, worth mentioning because he appears in voice only. Usually when he does that whole kind of like, this is Captain Black relaying orders from the Mistrons, you see him standing nearby somewhere. But in this case, he's just a voice. Is this a win or a loss? Well, it's very much a loss for Spectrum. They save people from dying, but the base is like massively damaged and is going to take however many months to fix. And the whole kind of going back to Mars thing just remains a loose end, sadly, because it feels like it's building to something. We had Flight 104 being kind of about them having a meeting to kind of start thinking about going back to Mars, and this is the next one in line in terms of talking about testing the nose cone and all that kind of stuff. And then, as far as I recall, it doesn't go anywhere. We've got five episodes left, but I'm pretty certain there isn't any mention of this again. So that is a shame. Mistron Puppets, well, we will add him. I've forgotten his name because it's a couple of days since I actually watched the episode. I am not recording immediately afterwards in this case. So we will add this week's Mistron, who I think is the Captain Brown puppet again. Okay, I feel I should do a most best Mistron and most useless Mistron. Once I've completed the Mistron gallery, I'll go through and kind of based on the episodes they're in, I'll probably kind of come up with a ranking of Mistron agents. But I feel this guy is particularly useless. So, as I say, 5 episodes to go next week. Treble Cross, which I remember being particularly good and slightly, well, development in the continuity of the Mysterons. So I'm looking forward to revisiting that one, and I will speak to you then.